Good afternoon, everybody. It's Tom McNew, and I am here with Miss Nancy Glover, and Jimmy is otherwise engaged this afternoon. So we're going to talk a little bit today about you and Jimmy and your calling and this wonderful ministry that you're working on here at St. Mary's. But first and foremost, kind of give everybody who wasn't listening to us during the pledge drive a little introduction.
Okay, sure. So as you mentioned, I'm a parishioner at St. Mary's. I, by day, am the director of housing and community development for the city of Temple as my day job. And I've been a parishioner at St. Mary's since 2004. I've worked for the city just a little over 18 years. Mm-hmm. In varying capacities and have been in housing and community development for the last few years. And in that time, I've been really learning this side of the house and, you know, what community development really is. Mm-hmm. And from a city government standpoint, mm-hmm. all the while, God has really been teaching me what community development is like from a Catholic standpoint. Yeah. The Catholic Church started community development. Like it began with the church. And over the years, you can see it. They've mm-hmm. developed hospitals and orphanages and, you know, all types of programs. Yes, Catholic Charities mm-hmm. does amazing work in this arena all over the country, all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so the model that the church has for social teaching and social doctrine is really solid, and it's based on the dignity of the human person. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So while learning all about it from a municipal sort of standpoint, municipal government standpoint, God has been teaching me all of these other things too, and pointing me towards these things through mm-hmm. a variety of different like learning opportunities. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of which was the Texas Christian Community Development Association. They have an annual meeting every year, and they bring in a variety of different speakers throughout the day. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for people in my profession to see it from that sort of faith-based mm-hmm. Standpoint. So I actually learned about the opportunity from Rucker Preston. He's the executive director at Family Promise, and also work with him in a variety of different other initiatives, and I just think he's a great guy, just mm-hmm. all together.
Where is he based out of?
Here in Temple.
Oh, here in Temple.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Family
okay.
Promise.
Okay.
And they're a homeless shelter for people for families experiencing homelessness. Mm. And so he told me about it, and he had been a director for that organization some years ago, and mm-hmm. just recommended that I go. And of course, I talked to some of the other social service agency leaders in the community, including Jeff Stiegel at Feed My Sheep. Mm-hmm. And they all said, oh, yeah, you should definitely go. So because of the conception of separation of church and state, I took the week off, paid, you know, used my vacation time, paid for it all myself, and went. And God really opened my eyes to a lack of involving my church in areas that I should be involving mm-hmm. my church. And to the point where I literally came back and told Father Curtis, who was the priest here mm-hmm. at St. Mary's at the time, that I'm sorry. I should be bringing you to the table more often, and I haven't been. Mm-hmm. And that's going to change.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you're going to be brought to every table, or at least extended the opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, the invitation to come to every table, but to also know that the church plays a key role, and not just our church, but every church mm-hmm. really plays a key role in changing the quality of life for individuals experiencing a variety of different issues. Mm-hmm. Socially isolated. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people in the community that may not be experiencing poverty monetarily, but they're experiencing a poverty of spirit by social isolation. And that's something that the church can really focus in on and mm-hmm. provide solutions for. Poverty of finances is another one, obviously. Monetary poverty. There are lots of programs out there that can help people learn different ways of managing their money. Sure. You know, not necessarily building programming that it's already existing in the community that are sort of meant to be those stopgap measures of food pantries and clothing closets and, you know, those types of things. Those are already being done well in the community by other organizations. That's not something that the church should do. But what the church should do is relational social outreach.
Yeah.
Looking for those opportunities to identify with people on a person-to-person level and understand why they are experiencing the things that they're experiencing, whatever that might be, whether it's social isolation or monetary poverty or, you know, illiteracy, immigration-related issues. It could be parenting-related. It could be relationship, you know, spousal sort of issues that they're facing. You know, you name it. There are people experiencing that right now all around us.
Amen.
So the difference is having that opportunity to reach out to people on a personal level and just get to know them, build that relationship, build those friendships, and find out what types of programs can be provided through the church to help address whatever those issues are, at the same time bringing them to Christ.
Yeah.
At the heart of everything that we do, that should be the ultimate goal.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So, as you work through this, it's almost resource management to a degree, right? I mean, because as you said, you're not trying to build anything new necessarily, but just take advantage of those things that are already exists in our community. Without trying to poke an eye in anybody, there's got to be some struggle there with working with some organizations as soon as they hear the word Catholic.
Well, you're absolutely right. When I went to the Texas Community Christian Community Development Association conference, I was the only Catholic in a sea of Protestants. There were 350 people there. I was the only Catholic that I knew of.
Wow.
That was there. And that to me is an indicator of work that needs to be done with my fellow Catholics to sort of change that model of local missionary work. And, you know, right here in our community, there are lots of opportunities for that type of mission-based work, and the Protestants are doing it.
Yeah.
They are working right here in our backyard. Not that I am anti-Protestant.
Right.
You know, I'm not anti anything, but I do feel that the Catholic Church holds the fullness of truth.
Amen.
We have the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that is not something that any other church has. That to me is the key to the graces that people need to see true change in their lives. If we are the only ones that have that, we should be the ones out there saying, hey, guess what we have, and you need to come and see this and experience this, because you can't experience it anywhere else. So by not flying the flag of the Catholic Church, we're really, it's really a disservice for individuals who are seeking, because this is something that's really special and that can't be found anywhere else. And I think we as Catholics have a responsibility to carry that faith and that those opportunities out into our community, and to try to bring people to that as often and, you know, as much as we possibly can.
Now, you said you've been working with the City of Temple for 18 years, but there was a time you worked somewhere else before you started working in this community development.
Yeah, I was in tourism for 15 of the, well, 14 of the 18 years. Maybe it's 13, 14. And hospitality, I think, too, goes along with a lot of the same sort of biblical tenets. But I didn't feel, I felt God calling me to helping him with the basic needs of feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless. Like, those basic needs is what he kept pointing me to and calling me to. You know, I think in our interview during the pledge drive, I said, you know, I think God really, when we ask him for these things in life, he says, sure, but I'm going to prepare you for those so that you're set up for success. And that's exactly what happened with me. I felt that calling, and I said, God, if that's really what you want me to do, open some doors for me. And when I said yes to the calling, he started that job training, you know, that on the job training with me and providing me with these opportunities to see and experience these things through the development of a Main Street program in downtown, which I know sounds weird, but we started to look into downtown development. And one of the things that was the biggest issue in downtown development at that time in Temple was homelessness.
Yeah.
There were lots of people sleeping on benches. And, you know, if you're recruiting businesses to open up in your downtown and that's an issue, the first thing they say is, okay, Nancy, fix that. Figure that out.
I can't have customers coming in here.
Understand. So I started this process of understanding homelessness and how communities were addressing the issue of homelessness. And that's exactly what I thought of it as at that time, was this problem that I had to fix. Instead of people experiencing a problem who have been given life by God, who are in the image of Jesus himself and all of these things, I looked at it as a problem that I needed to fix. So God sent me to some great training, the Community First Village in Austin, founded by a Catholic, Alan Graham. Sponsored by a Catholic church through Mobile Loaves and Fishes. And he showed me that what I had been doing was stepping over Lazarus at the door. And the first day I went to a 3-day workshop on how to do this in your community, essentially. And it was a moving experience to the point where I went back to my little tiny home bed and breakfast that I stayed on site in the Community First Village, which is a tiny home for community for people experiencing homelessness. Went back to my little tiny home that night and cried. You know, it was so eye opening, and it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, these are people that I'm talking about. God's this isn't a children. Problem. Yes, and they're beautifully and wonderfully made. And they deserve all the most wonderful things that this world has to offer. And they're not a problem to be solved.
Right. It's interesting, you started in tourism, and that had to, that's not a career path that you would normally associate to community development, you know, and don't shoot me for the euphemism, social justice, you know, but having that door opened where you knew literally everybody in town, right? Because you were drawing people to all the different great and wonderful events, that had to make that transition from, hey, just come and see the good things, to, hey, let's develop this community,
right?
It's not solving problems. It's figuring out where people have needs and wants,
right?
And bringing the church to those needs and wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Was the transition then from, you talked about God calling you, there had to be, to be a fly on the wall in a conversation that you and Jimmy had, and that in that transition must have been pretty interesting.
Yeah, it really was, because it meant a cut in pay, and he had retired in 2015. So I was the only breadwinner in the family at that point, and I took about a $15,000 a year cut in pay to do this. But he saw in me the calling, and he saw that it was genuine, and we talk all the time. He's my best friend. So he's been walking this path with me all along, and I think that's what spouses are supposed to do. That it should never come out of, nothing should ever come out of left field, and for him, it totally didn't, but he did have to agree that we were going to, as a family, take this leap of faith and
make some adjustments to your lifestyle.
And we did.
$2,500 a month decrease in pay, that's nothing to sneeze at,
right?
And that, but that takes some commitment, and it's commendable, your relationship, but I think that the relationship that you have with your husband is really your launching pad for the relationships that you develop with your coworkers and the people here in town, and then the people that are in our community that we're trying to make life better for.
That's right. That's right. And I think too, you know, I always have to remind myself, and I think other Catholics should do the same all day, every day.
Yep.
We're being watched by everybody, mm-hmm. you know, not just the people in our families or the people in our circles, but everyone within the community. And when you start working with these really high profile projects, you're really being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wear my rosary necklace and I, everybody knows I'm a Catholic. I talk about St. Mary's all the time. I love my church. I love it so much. It is the center of my life. And, you know, not just this parish, but the Catholic Church.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of it. And everybody knows it.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right. That's right. Because that's really what,
right.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when everybody knows you're Catholic and you're the only Catholic in the room, everybody's watching. Okay.
That's exactly
how is
right.
she going to, you know, what is she going to, where, you know, how, mm-hmm. how's this mm-hmm. going to fly and what's that going to do? And, you know. We have a responsibility to
right.
represent.
Yeah. I and a lot of our listeners have a direct or indirect connection to the Army, the military in general, but the Army specifically. And we always have that same kind of mindset, you know, that you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
People are looking at you as, hey, this is how the Army works. And so people are looking at you, hey, this is how the Catholic Church, and you get lumped into that gross generalization.
Yeah.
And that's why I said the good, the bad, and the ugly. But in all this work now, what has that done to your faith?
Oh, it's just taken it to a completely different level.
Yeah.
It really has. Because now, instead of compartmentalizing so much, you know, this is the work box, and this is my church box, and this is my family box.
Mm-hmm.
It's all one box.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where my, like, I'll do things at church and they'll say, so is this the city or is this you? You know, there's the lines are really blurred at
Which
this point.
Which hat is Nancy wearing today?
Yeah. But that's what a wonderful thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't have that before, you know? And I was doing a lot of things in the community that the church, that my church family, this mm-hmm. St. Mary's church family, should have been intimately involved with.
Mm-hmm.
We, as the city, are investing $14 million in a transformational campus for people experiencing homelessness.
Wow.
And that's just first phase.
Yeah.
And it's right here in our community, and it's going to be an incredibly amazing project,
mm-hmm.
like the Community First Village in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody coming there will have a welcome, dignifying, beautiful place to live, and all of the services that they need to support a successful existence in this
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
And this church family needs to be involved with that.
Yeah. So talk about that connection now between what the city is doing, you know, and change your hat here, and the ministry
mm-hmm.
that you're kind of, that you're very deeply involved in, that's growing now here at St. Mary's.
Yeah. So the city is really focusing a lot of effort on that, the population of people experiencing homelessness.
Uh-huh.
In Temple, that's about 350 people. There are 14,000.
In a population of... How many, what's the population of Temple?
About, let's just say 85,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
The numbers are all kind of all over the place, but the last census numbers were like 85,000. So 350 experiencing homelessness, 14,500 living at or below the poverty line.
Mm.
So what we're trying to do here at St. Mary's is really create a local mission field right here around our parish, and get out into this neighborhood, talk to people, find out, and I know because I've done demographic studies on this neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Find out who is experiencing poverty, what are some of the barriers or challenges are they experiencing, and can we provide programming here to help them at some level overcome those barriers and improve their quality of life. So helping them help themselves essentially by just providing them with some level of support or additional educational opportunities, you know, other types of programs that we can put out there that will help. A mother's night out, you know, instead of having a free Christmas present giveaway, actually having a Christmas shop that they can come in and buy their own gifts, you know, deeply discounted, you know, 10 cents, 25 cents, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But they're the ones buying it. They're wrapping it. They're putting it under the tree instead of the, instead of just getting it given to them.
I'm hearing a whole lot of hand up, not a hand out.
Yes. Yes. Because it, it ties back into social Catholic social doctrine. Catholic social teaching is all about the dignity of the person. Instead of treating the problem or treating the person, you're really getting down into the understanding of what, where the real problems are that they're experiencing and how can we help them make true change in their lives. And it's not, like you said a little while ago, not trying to poo-poo anything that's happening
that's
in any other other ministries. I think all of the outreach ministries are great. I just encourage churches to take a look at those and see if there's a way that you could create a relational component to it. So instead of just giveaways, you're getting to know the person.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a Christmas present giveaway at your church, make it to where that person has to come in and there's a conversation about what are they struggling with? How are, you know, what types of barriers are they experiencing in their life? Instead of them just coming and picking up the stuff and driving, there's a conversation there.
Some humanity.
Yes.
In conjunction with the work.
Yeah. I can tell you St. Mary's Catholic Church was established. The city of Temple was established in 1881. St. Mary's was established in the late 1890s. So we were right on the heels of this little budding community. It started with a group of nuns and a priest. And I guarantee you, I wasn't here back then, but I guarantee you they were afoot walking through this community, finding out what people needed, what were the struggles, how could they provide support, all the time calling people to Christ through through that service. But it was relationship based. It wasn't let's go take a bunch of groceries out to the neighborhood. It was let's go meet these people, learn how these people are living and love them.
I think that's part of how we as the future of the church have to get over the secular hurdle of the abuses and the financial scandals and the humanity that is part of the church, that I mean, we are, we're, I heard somewhere, a divine institution run by failing humans.
That's right.
And I mean, but I think that's how, that's a pathway then for us to show, as you said, live our faith. Truly, in the in our community, and show people that we are not what the media portrays us to be.
Right.
You know, and that's a that's sometimes a tremendous hurdle. There's a also a very interesting connection to all this development, and you mentioned the all our Protestant brothers and sisters who have been doing this for a long time. There's a very close connection then to what we're seeing in Catholic radio,
right?
You know, the Protestant brothers and sisters have been involved with and doing radio for generations, and it took a cloistered nun that many called crazy in Alabama to realize that we have the same opportunity in front of us. You know, can you talk about that kind of connection a little bit there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the evangelical model is really what sort of the Protestants have used as sort of a launching pad for a lot of different means of reaching out. I think the Catholic Church historically has been that boots on the ground. You know, we have these, the people that have dedicated themselves to religious life, and that's sort of their job. Mm-hmm. And as the laity, we've sort of put ourselves into these little boxes of, you know, okay, we're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and the religious are supposed to do A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And we're just supposed to pray for them and hope that, you know, it all works out. And the Protestants, on the other hand, I mean, they are all, okay, we're all on the same, yeah. We're on the same level. It's all our responsibility, and we have to get out and evangelize. So I think that the fact that the Catholics are now, the laity are now seeing, okay, there's been a decrease in the religious population, you know, people that have taken vows, mm-hmm. religious vows. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to this, and we are, like I said earlier, we're doing a disservice to everyone if we don't get out there and talk about it and, mm-hmm. and develop different means like Catholic radio or TV or, you know, other media sources to try to spread the word as much as we can. The true Catholic and apostolic faith, the fullness of truth, the right. original church, founded by Jesus. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Yep.
And that we have that responsibility.
Yeah, amen.
And I think Catholic radio is, it for me, if I'm in the car, I'm listening to Catholic radio. If I have an opportunity to give someone advice, you know, if they're struggling with questions, I tell them, tune into Catholic radio. That to me is just a constant feeding of that need to learn and mm-hmm. grow and mm-hmm. understand. And it's also a way to debunk the myths.
Amen. There you go.
Yeah. For the people that don't understand it, listen to Catholic radio. Yeah. You know, you'll get an understanding of what we do, why we do it, and where it came from, you know, what started everything.
Right.
We're not just coming up with this in a vacuum. I mean, you know, this has
been around for a couple thousand years.
Yeah. And Jesus was the one that yeah. started the whole thing. So that I think that at the very least, it will help the Protestants understand a different point of view.
Yeah.
Whether or not they buy into it and, you know, convert, that's between them and God. Mm-hmm. And but hopefully it will help, you know, keep them from being quite so negative or feeling some kind of negative way towards Catholics. And at the same time, encourage more Catholics to get involved.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Nancy, thank you very much for coming and hanging out with us. And,
Absolutely.
Any final thoughts or advice?
I would just encourage everyone to pray. Pray for Catholic radio. Pray for our priests and religious. Pray for lay people that are trying to get out in our community and bring people to Christ. You know, Jesus himself said the harvest is, you know, plenty, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers. We need people who are as passionate about the Catholic Church as he was and that want to walk in his footsteps and you know, embrace that lifestyle of getting out and sitting with someone and finding out really what they're struggling with and just loving them, seeing him in them and loving them through it, you know. So just pray for us, pray for our ministry, pray for our church.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Tom.